Our first reading is from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Our second reading is from Romans 5, verses 1 to 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to see you all on this Christmas morning. Friends, I'm sure that all of us have heard of the United Nations, the UN. The United Nations is a worldwide body established in 1945, just after World War II, a body participated in and contributed to by almost every single country. It is, in fact, the largest international organization on Earth. But I wonder, do you know what their primary aim is? What they're trying to achieve? Well, I'd like to quote from their own charter. It says this: "The purposes of the United Nations are to maintain international peace and security, and to that end, to take effective collective measures for the prevention and removal of threats to the peace, and for the suppression of acts of aggression or other breaches of the peace, and to bring about by peaceful means and in conformity with the principles of justice and international law, adjustment or settlement of international disputes or situations which might lead to a breach of the peace." It's abundantly clear, isn't it? They use the word five times in that one long sentence. The UN is all about peace. Their mandate is to bring peace on earth. And what a great and noble desire that is. But my question to you this morning is, how do you think they're going? In the last 80 years, have they now achieved their goal of bringing peace into our world? Well, down here in safe and sleepy Tassie, we could be tempted to think that they have. But let's take a moment to consider the facts. Did you know that right now there are more than 45 major armed conflicts taking place in the Middle East and North Africa? These involve Cyprus, Egypt, Iraq, Israel, Libya, Morocco, Palestine, Syria, Turkey, Western Sahara, and Yemen. Did you know that on top of that, there's more than 35 armed conflicts going on in the rest of Africa, involving Burkina Faso, Cameroon, Central African Republic, the Congo, Ethiopia, Mali, Mozambique, Nigeria, Senegal, Somalia, and Sudan? And there's another 21 armed conflicts across Asia, in Afghanistan, China, India, Myanmar, Pakistan, and the Philippines. And there's another 7 in Europe involving Armenia, Azerbaijan, Georgia, Moldova, Russia, and Ukraine. And another 6 in Latin America, centered mainly in Colombia and Mexico. Some of these are clashes between nations. Others are major civil wars. Some are being led by official governments and military, while others involve cartels and militia and guerrilla forces. Some are making headlines in our media, but most of them are never even mentioned. But yet all of them are causing death and destruction and misery. So have the UN achieved peace on earth? No, they haven't. And friends, I think we all know that they never will. No governing body can mandate for peace, because peace is a matter of the human heart. But the threat to peace isn't only caused by wars, is it? I mean, around the globe, we also see increasing levels of poverty and disease, slavery and exploitation, crime and corruption, extinction, pollution, degradation. We're living in a very deeply troubled world. And please, let's not think that we're immune to these things here in Australia. Because despite being a stable and wealthy nation, the reality is we too have our fair share of troubles. Because friends, we're living in a land where there are escalating rates of domestic violence and child abuse, mental illness and self-harm, and drug addiction and homelessness. And we're hearing more and more about organized crime and about cybercrime and gang crime, and so it goes on. Our nation is now waging war on the most vulnerable, with both abortion and euthanasia legalized and commonplace. We live in a land of ongoing racial tension, where the treatment of refugees is highly questionable, where there's chaos in Alice Springs, where a church bishop is stabbed in Sydney, where a synagogue is firebombed in Melbourne. We live in a land where freedom of speech and freedom of religion are under threat. And even if we ourselves would manage to avoid all of these broader issues, we also know the friction and the conflict in our own personal lives. Far too often there is tension in our relationships, in our marriages and our families, in our neighbourhoods and our workplaces and our social circles, and even tension in our church. And as we think about all of this, I'm quite confident that every single one of us is longing for peace. We look at all these troubles and we think, why can't people just get on with each other? Why can't they just be nice? Why do nations attack nations? Why do terrorists cause devastation? Why do the powerful exploit the weak? Friends, why do people drive cars into crowded Christmas markets, killing and injuring? Why do wives get beaten and murdered? Why are there burglaries, road rage, industrial disputes, graffiti? Why is there such stress and strife in my life? And why am I so often to blame for it? For don't we all contribute through our own selfish actions and our own hurtful words, our own arrogance and anger and arguments, our own critique and criticism, our own opinions and outrage? Aren't you longing for an end to all of these troubles? Don't you longing for real and lasting peace in this world and in your relationships and in your own heart? Well, friends, if you are longing for peace this Christmas, then I've got some great news to share with you today. Because many years ago, the Lord God Almighty, He sent a message to His people, Israel. And He spoke to them through His prophet Isaiah. And He made them an amazing promise. And that promise, as Chloe read for us, was that a child would be born and a son would be given. And over the last three Sundays here at Riverbank, we've seen that He would be called Wonderful Counselor, highlighting His great wisdom. And He would be called Mighty God, revealing His divine power. And He would be called Everlasting Father, showing His pure heart of love. But today we are zooming in on his fourth and final designation, on the fact that this promised child would also be called the Prince of Peace. God was sending his own son to be our prince, a great commander, a mighty leader. But where would he lead us to? He would lead us into a state of incredible and wonderful peace. You know, the Hebrew word behind this is very well known. It's that word shalom. Shalom is a fantastic word. It describes the absence of all wars and conflict, and the absence of troubles and tension and fear and anxiety and misery. But it's more than that, because shalom also describes the perfect state of calm and tranquility, a state of harmony and safety and health and wholeness and of absolute happiness and utter well-being. Shalom is exactly, my friends, what we are all longing for. And so in these glorious words, the Lord declares that his Messiah, his promised Savior, was going to come into our world. And when he came, he was going to make everything right. And some 700 years later, the promise was fulfilled, as Elisha and Roper read for us from the Gospel of Luke. Because, of course, a census was being taken of the whole Roman Empire. And so Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem to register. But Mary was pregnant, and the time came for her baby to be born. And there were shepherds in the field nearby, and an angel appeared. "Don't be afraid. I bring good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." And then a great company of angels appeared. And do you remember what they sang? They sang, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Praise be to our Heavenly Father, for the Prince of Peace has been born. And they named him Jesus. But you might be wondering, well, how exactly is Jesus my Prince of Peace? I mean, we've already established all the turmoil in this world and in our lives. So what's he done to help me? Well, the first thing we need to understand, my friends, is that all of this conflict and tension that's around us and that's within us is actually not the fundamental problem. These things are mere symptoms of the real issue. For the real issue in this world and in my heart and yours is that we have cut ourselves off from our God. You see, he is the Almighty Creator. He is the very one who brought this world into being and who brought you and me into being. He made us what we are. He gave us all we have. We owe everything to him. But yet we chose to defy him, and we went our own way, and we ignored him, and we disobeyed him, and we rejected him. And as the entire human race fell into sin, so right from the time of Cain and Abel, the troubles and the conflict began. And what we see around us today, my friends, is a consequence of a world that is in rebellion against its maker. Romans chapter 5 says we were ungodly, says we were sinners, says we deserved God's wrath. It says we made ourselves his enemies. But yet into this situation of conflict, the Lord sent his prince, his own son, born as a helpless human baby, to bring peace on earth to those on whom his favour rests. That's why in John chapter 14, Jesus declared, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And a couple of chapters later, he said, "I've told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world." And how does Jesus provide us with this peace? Well, by sacrificing his own life at Calvary. Because it is on that cross that our precious Saviour took all of our sin and all of our rebellion and all of our punishment upon himself. And it was there that he bore the wrath of God against all of our disobedience and all of our defiance and all the evil we have committed. Do you remember Isaiah chapter 53? "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." Friends, Jesus came. He was born on that first Christmas because he was coming to be your substitute. Because he was coming to suffer the agony of hell in our place. And in doing so, he restored us to our gracious, loving God. Colossians chapter 1 says, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." And in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, which Chloe read earlier, it says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Do you understand the gravity of this truth? We were the Lord's enemies. We were living in defiance. We were deserving of the eternal condemnation of hell. But Jesus came to fix what we had broken and to restore what we had lost and to pay the debt that we owed. And by doing so, he made us right with God. He truly is the Prince of Peace for all who put their trust in him. But there's more. For as Jesus makes peace between us and God, he also fills us with peace in our own hearts. Listen to what Paul writes in Philippians. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And what will happen? He says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Our friends, in Jesus, we can find shalom. We can find release from our troubles and our tensions and our fears and our anxieties. In Jesus, we can find the harmony and the happiness that we are longing for. And we can experience that regardless of what might be going on around us. Because we know that whatever else is going on, Jesus is our Saviour. And he loves us so much. And he provides everything that we need. He watches over us. He cares for us. He hears our prayers and intercedes for us. He walks with us daily, and he will never, ever, ever let us go. Nothing can separate us from his love. And this knowledge gives us a sense of well-being that is beyond our worldly circumstances, that is beyond our own logic. A sense of well-being that transcends all human understanding. Because when it all boils down, we know that it is well with our soul. But there's even more than that. For as our Prince provides us with peace with our God and also peace in our own hearts, he also calls and equips us to be a force for peace in this world. That's why in the Beatitudes of Matthew 5, we are told there, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And that's why one of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, right after love and joy, is also peace. And so in Romans 12, we're told this. It says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Well, this 2 Corinthians chapter 13 says, finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind and live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Or Colossians chapter 3. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And there's also Hebrews chapter 12. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. For without holiness no one will see the Lord. Do you get the message, my friends? We are commissioned to be Jesus' ambassadors of shalom in this world. We have been called to show a better way to those within our sphere of influence. But then we need to ask ourselves if we're truly seeking to live up to that calling. Because sadly, there have been so many times when Christians have not been peacemakers, but they have been troublemakers. And maybe like me, you too have fallen into that trap. Well, won't you come with me to God in confession? For he is so gracious, and he will always forgive. And won't you pray that he would fill you to overflowing with his Holy Spirit, and that he would equip you to live for Jesus once again. Friends, let's be challenged to walk in the footsteps of our Prince. Won't you strive for greater peace in your family and in your marriage? Won't you be an instrument of peace in all of your relationships and an instrument of peace in this church? And just imagine if the 2+ billion Christians on this planet would all do the same. What a beautiful thing that would be. Oh, we truly can make this world a better place. But yet we know that the ultimate fulfillment is still to come. Because the Bible tells us that there will always be trouble in this sinful world. But it also assures us that the day is coming when our Prince is going to return. And when he comes, he is going to make everything new. And can you picture how good that's going to be? There's going to be no more wars, and no more fighting, and no more killing, no more poverty, no more slavery, no more racism, and no more crime. Women will be safe. Sickness will be gone. Tension and worry and anger and selfishness will be no more. And the world will be made perfect. And we will be made perfect. And how? For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. Friends, the United Nations has such a lofty and noble goal to bring peace to this earth, but they're never going to achieve it, are they? But yet we know someone who will. Maybe you're here this morning and you're longing to find a greater sense of well-being in your life. You're sick of all the turmoil, sick of all the tension, sick of all the guilt and the shame. You'd love nothing more than to finally experience some genuine hope and joy and security in your life. Well, then I want to invite you to turn to Jesus Christ. Turn to the one who entered this world to solve our deepest struggle, to rescue you from sin, to reconcile you with your Maker. Put your faith in Jesus, and his favor will rest on you, for you will find his forgiveness and you will find his peace. You'll no longer be an enemy of God, but his precious, treasured child. Your heart will no longer be restless, but filled with calm and contentment. And you will no longer be part of the problem in this world, because Jesus will make you part of the solution. Turn to him. Turn to him today and find rest for your soul. And if you're already experiencing all of that, then well, I want to urge you to rejoice and to be glad. This Christmas, let us celebrate the coming of our Prince of Peace and the wonderful, glorious shalom that he has provided with our Lord in our hearts and through our lives. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for sending us Jesus, your Son, your Prince of Peace. Thank you that he came to bring peace on earth to those on whom his favor rests. Thank you that through faith in him, we have found peace with you. Lord, we ask you to truly fill us with an overwhelming sense of well-being this Christmas. We know there's people here who are struggling, people here who are anxious and in turmoil. Lord, have mercy on them, we pray, and may they too find their rest in you. Father, may all of us know the hope and the happiness that only Jesus can provide. And may we be his ambassadors in this world, bringing his message of peace to all those around us. And Father, help us to long for that day when Jesus will return to restore all things, that day when wars will cease and we will experience the life that we long for, forever in glory with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.